Get ready for the smartest bundle in streaming. 6 streaming services for the intellectually curious. Featuring Curiosity Stream with the best collection of documentary films and TV shows. Psalm TV and great stories from the world of wine. Taste Made for the fun side of food and travel. Topic with the best thrillers and crime stories. And so much more. From nature to history, technology to food, mystery to adventure. Get 6 streaming services for one low price and less than $6 a month. It's the best deal in streaming. Learn more and sign up now at smartbundle.com.
I was on the run. I don't want to say why, because I don't want to incriminate myself. Though if anyone from the authorities does read this, I could most likely enter a plea of mental disorder. No sane person would surely claim to have experienced what I did. I had been sleeping rough down by the docks, which was not as bad as it sounds. I had found a sheltered place, a covered lockup bay for bicycles that no one seemed to use. I had a good sleeping bag and a sad face that worked wonders for getting change from passing strangers. All good, until I noticed I was being eyeballed by the occupants of a passing patrol car. Easy come, easy go, I thought, putting my hands in my pockets and walking away as nonchalantly as I could from my spot. I did not want to take any chances, so it was time to move on. One of the few things I can say with any certainty about my deadbeat life is that I have usually gone with the flow. The other kids were stealing cars, so I did the same. There was easy money moving drugs around on behalf of the local dealer, so that became my thing. When matters escalated, when the things I don't want to talk about happened, I was part of a crew. Bad people that I fell in with, going with the flow. I rounded a corner and a cruise ship came into view. It looked like it had seen better days, I thought. Then noticed there was a walkway from the side of the docks attached to the ship and no one in sight. The flow took me up the walkway and onto the ship. Everywhere I looked, I saw cracked paint and stains and cobweb after cobweb. Faded bunting hung limply from railings and water pooled in gaps in the decking. I could not see anyone paying to take a cruise on this ship. For my part, I've never felt guilty about taking a free ride in my life, and the only destination I cared about was away from here. I had still seen no crew, but did not want to push my luck, so I hunted around for the nearest place to hide. A loose cover over a lifeboat later, and I was snuggled up in the dark, and just in time, as I could hear shouting, boots clattering. The flurry of noise passed. I chanced to look out from the lifeboat and saw a dozen or so wooden crates being manhandled up the walkway. I was starting to think this was a cargo vessel rather than a cruise liner. Maybe once, 20 or more years ago, it had welcomed onboard passengers for voyages of pampered luxury. Surely not now, though. Then I heard new voices, men talking animatedly and sounding like they were heading my way. I ducked back under cover and waited. Soon after, I felt the ship rattle beneath me. Felt as much as heard it creaking and groaning, and then with a worrying lurch, it started moving. I started to relax. I left one of the troubles behind, and the future was unwritten. It was not long, though, before my bladder ruined my sense of calm. I was bursting, but didn't want to go in the lifeboat, as I had no idea how long I would need to hide out there. So, real cautious, real slow, I emerged onto the deck. I seemed to be alone. Relieved, I relieved myself. The deck on this part of the ship was empty, apart from my lifeboat, and a row of sun loungers. It had turned into a hot day, and I would have loved to have settled into one, but dared not risk it. My business finished. I climbed back under the covers and got as comfortable as I could. At some point, I fell asleep. After stretching my aching limbs in the confined space of my new home and yawning, I lifted the cover a little to see if the coast was clear, so I could head out and try and find something to eat and drink. It was fine, and I was soon back on deck, still alone, the only passenger, it seemed to me. A bit further down the deck, the doors to what I assumed were cabins remained closed, and it looked like the shutters on the small windows of each were down. My theory that this was now a cargo ship rather than a passenger vessel appeared more and more likely. This was reinforced when, an hour or so later, we approached a new harbor, I had no idea where we were, but the dock we pulled into was even more run down than the ship. Crouching low and glancing constantly around as I watched as more boxes were loaded. These boxes seemed to rattle and were dotted with what I thought could be air holes. Livestock containers, I assumed. Some poor beasts being transported under conditions which must have been illegal. I decided to go in search of food and something to wash it down with while, I hoped, the crew were fully occupied loading their new cargo. I got lucky, finding an unlocked storeroom with tins of corned meat and, wonders of wonders, a crate of beer. I took less than I wanted as I did not want to make it too obvious there was a thief on board and scurried back to the lifeboat, filling my belly with salty, rubbery meat, washed down with warm beer. It started to feel like a home from home, until the cries began. At first I thought it was just the ship creaking, its old metal and wood protesting, but soon it became horribly clear that they were the cries of living creatures. The livestock, it must have been, they almost sounded human. It was horrible. I wiped my face, feeling suddenly hot. Whether it was the hideous sounds or the warm beer and cold meat, my stomach lurched. I hurried back out onto the deck and leaned over the side of the ship where I was violently sick. I stood there gasping and shivering. Night was falling, and I watched the last of the light slip away. Thankful that the only sounds I could hear now were of the ship and the water lapping at its hull. And then a click. I turned and saw it was one of the cabin doors opening. I swore to myself, there was no time to get back into the lifeboat, so I ducked under its prow and made myself as small as possible. A man emerged from the cabin. He wore a long black coat and moved with a slow, easy grace. He walked with a silver-handled cane, though for show rather than any need of it, I believed. Under the light of the stars and a quarter moon, his skin appeared pale. His head was shaven with the intermingling lines of a tattoo reaching up one side of his face. The sight of him made me shiver, and I tried to retreat further back under the lifeboat. As he began to promenade along the deck, more cabin doors opened and more figures stepped out. There were about a dozen that I could see. Each was draped in black. Their pale countenances were expressionless. Some appeared to be male, some female. All their heads were shaved. A variety of intricate facial tattoos seemed to be the only distinguishing marks. Not a word was said between them as they took in the night air. I watched entranced and unsettled in equal measure. There was something otherworldly about the passengers, something which set my nerves on edge. I would have fled if I could, but as it was, I had no choice but to cower in my hiding place and hope that none of them would spot me, even though their stroll along the decks was now taking them right past me. A new figure appeared. He was dressed in a white uniform and carried a tray holding narrow, ornate glasses filled to the brim with a dark liquid. A companion followed in his wake. Together, they began to move among the passengers, offering drinks which were eagerly taken. For all their strange appearance, the passengers had up to that point shown a degree of finesse that seemed to be cast aside as they greedily swallowed down their drinks in one, then proceeded to lick the glasses with long, slim tongues that flickered out of lips stained dark red with the liquid. The passenger closest to me smiled, a tight, controlled movement. I felt sick when I saw his teeth, saw sharp, bestial tips. I closed my eyes, like a child hiding from something that should have remained within its imagination. I could not see anymore without losing control. Hours later, a morning that I thought would never come crept into the sky, and the deck was once more deserted. The passengers had returned to their cabins. I stayed in my hiding place, and before long saw the crew carrying objects bundled inside tarpaulin onto deck. One by one, they tossed their loads into the sea. It was the carcasses of the livestock, I thought, then glimpsed a hand in a gap in the tarpaulin shroud as it struck the gray ocean. A human hand. 10 loads in all were discarded. 10 bodies. They floated on the surface for a moment before slipping into the depths. There was no blood pooling on the surface, no sign of life. I thought of a creature that had also traveled by ship from its ancient home to English shores, of legends and myths. I thought of the cries I had heard, and cold fear passed through my body as the truth dawned on me. I thought of sly smiles and crimson-stained lips and razor-sharp teeth, of the hell which awaited me on this ship when night once more fell. I crouched there and wept. The sun was high overhead when my chance presented itself. We were once more approaching a dock. I saw crates lined up, waiting to be brought on board. Imagined glasses brimming, ready for the passengers to drink their fill. I took my chance and clambered up onto the side of the ship, then plummeted into the water. I made it. I'm sitting on a beach now, sipping a cold drink. It's a beautiful day, but I know now that there are creatures out there that care for nothing for the day, that wait for the sun to dip below the horizon. I know now that when night falls, fear returns. I haven't heard from my mom in about 3 days. That was around the time her beagle, Buster, died, and she was really depressed, so I decided to give her some space to cope. So when she called me out of the blue yesterday, sounding all bright and chipper, that was when I knew something had happened. We live in small town Iowa, a couple kilometers north of Spirit Lake. There isn't much to do to pass the time, and since my dad died and I moved out for college, my mom relied heavily on Buster for company. I finished up my last semester and went back home ready to fit back into life, at least until it was time to go job hunting, and that's when she told me the news about Buster. I tried my best to console her and even promised to get her a new dog, but she wouldn't hear a word of it. Buster was a gift from my dad for their 12th anniversary, so to her, Buster was the last thing that made sense to her, and losing him meant losing my dad all over again. I spent a few nights at her house to try and cheer her up before getting back to my own apartment about 10 minutes away until I got her phone call. The sun hadn't even risen properly above the horizon when I heard my phone rattling on the nightstand. "Mikey, you need to get over here right now. You wouldn't believe who came to visit me last night." I had just woken up from a deep sleep and heard her loud, energetic tone. It was a little overwhelming for me. I don't... "Buster, you must have come in through the doggy door, although I don't know how because he's so big now." I paused for a minute trying to make sense of what I was hearing. I looked at the phone screen to make sure it was my mom and glanced at the time to see it was just 5:05 a.m. "Are you sure it isn't another beagle? Could be someone else's dog?" "Of course it's him. I'd know my Buster anywhere. Come over and say hi." I wanted to ask more, but between my sleepy haze and obvious confusion, all I managed was, okay. I looked at my phone screen again, unsure if what just happened was a really vivid dream or if my mom had fallen into some psychotic episode. I put on a sweater and slipped on my jeans and sneakers before leaving for her house. All the while, I was genuinely worried about her mental health, and I blamed myself. Dad died around the same time I started school out of state, and he was barely in the ground when I up and left Mom on her own. The more I thought about it, the more likely it seemed that I was the one to blame for all of this, and to make matters worse, I still didn't have a job. As I bent the corner, I half expected to see Buster running around our front lawn, as I had seen him before so many times walking home from high school, but there was no dog. Probably inside. I walked up the cobblestone walkway and heard my mom making her ridiculous baby talk that I'd often hear when Buster was still alive. As I walked in through the front door, nothing could prepare me for what I saw. As my eyes focused the room, I saw my mom sitting on the couch as I had seen her 100 million times before, with a black mass curled at her feet. As my eyes adjusted to the light of the house, I stood frozen, unable to say anything. "Doesn't he look great, Mikey?" What I saw was a man, 6'8". Hell, he could have been closer to an even 7 foot tall from where I was stood, wearing a matte black dog mask and full body jumpsuit. The man was so tall, He almost completely covered the white carpet Mom had laid out on the ground. I don't know where he was, but I'm so happy to have my big man back, Mom said as she pat the man's stomach. I still couldn't move or say anything. Through the eye holes of the mask, I could see the man studying me intently, and a pang of fear struck my chest. He looked as if he was plotting his next move, thinking of what to do. What did I just stumble upon exactly? I shifted my gaze to my mom and saw that she was in her glee. The only time I saw her this happy was when I told her I got accepted to Nebraska State. It felt so sincere and warm, it tore me up inside. Then I looked back down to the man and looked at his eyes again, through the holes of his mask. I could only see his eyes, but I swore they had the most smug look, as if to say, "Yeah, I made her this happy when you couldn't." But of course, he didn't say anything. He was a dog, after all. Dogs don't talk. My God, I had to say something. "Mom, what the hell?" I blurted out. Of course, that's not exactly the words I wanted to come out, but the shock of the situation sort of chose my words for me. She raised her head and the warm, doting smile melted from her face. "What's your problem? Buster's back, can't you see? Mom, who is that? Where did he come from?" Mom looked back at me like I had a skull full of crap. "This isn't funny, Mikey. You're scaring Buster with your loud talking." My mom wasn't much of a prankster. Come to think of it, she wasn't much of anything. For as long as I could remember, she pretty much lived for her family. Whatever Dad and I liked, she liked as well. But I still held out hope that this was some elaborate joke at my expense. But her eyes and facial expression behind her comically tiny Looney Tunes glasses made me realize that something was terribly wrong. Just when I thought it couldn't get worse, I heard it. Whimpers coming from the thing that lay on the ground. "Aw, what's wrong, Bussy? You want to go out? You don't? Okay, we'll stay inside with Mama." I could feel beads of sweat forming below my hairline in clusters. I didn't know what to do. Do I call the police? Clearly, my mom was unwell if she felt this thing was her dead dog. Then, without warning, the man got up on all fours and started growling at me. I felt that pang of fear in my chest again. Harder this time. I clearly couldn't count on my mom for help, so what was I going to do? The man in this suit looked like he had at least 50 pounds on me, and he was clearly deranged. "Buster, come back here. Leave Mikey alone. He just wants to play with you, Mikey. He hasn't seen you for so long." Then I could see him tensing up as if to charge. Before waiting, I ran out of the door and back onto the street, not stopping until I got home. As I type this now, it seems ridiculous. Me running from a grown man in a dog costume? But I don't know. There was something so unsettling about the incident. Clearly it was a man dressed as a dog, but I don't know. His eyes, while they were definitely human, had something else behind them that seemed inhuman and animalistic. I walked back over to my apartment, trying to make sense of what happened all the way. Who was that person? Where did he come from? Was he dangerous? But last and definitely not least, what do I do now? Do I go to the police? Tell them my mom's home has been invaded by a crazed dog man? Even if I did convince them to come to the home with me, what would they have done? I read a story online once where a man out of some strange fetish decided to live out the rest of his days as a horse in California with his wife, now owner, and there wasn't anything the authorities could do about it. Even if the police did something, is that really what I wanted to put my mom through? Between Dad's death and my going away, she clearly had a lot of mental baggage, and a trip to the police station to file a report, assuming she would in the first place, was the last thing she needed. But still, leaving her in there with whatever the hell that was wasn't a solution either. I sat on my bed and thought for a while until I realized I had to do something. I walked back over to Mom's house, the front door still open. Still unsure how to approach the situation, I pulled out my pocket knife in case things took a turn for the worse. That's when I saw one of my old neighbors, Mrs. Johansson, in her patio looking in the direction of my house. I whistled her over to the sidewalk. careful not to make too much noise for my mom or Buster to notice. Mikey, is your mom okay? Why do you ask? She studied me carefully. Well, she's been laughing and giggling really loud, and just before I saw you, she started cursing at someone. I know she lives alone since you left, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe she had the TV on? The thing is, it's not just that. Last night I got up to use the washroom and through the window, I saw a huge dog in your front lawn. It was about the size of a Great Dane. I thought about calling animal control, but who would believe an old coot like me? Who would believe that indeed, I thought to myself. Thanks, Miss Johansson. I think maybe you should call the police. Usually Miss Johansson was the kind of old biddy to ask why, but she sensed the urgency of the situation and hurried inside to call the cops. No sooner had I turned back to the house, I heard my mom scream. I hopped the wall of the house and walked inside to see the dog man trying to mount my mother as she fought back. I tried to focus on what was happening before my very eyes. His growls and snorts together with my mom's screams almost sent me crazy. My fear and shock quickly turned to rage when I folded out the blade from my pocket knife and threw myself at him full speed. I crashed into him and took him down to the ground in a move reminiscent of my old Pop Warner days as I slipped the knife between his shoulder blades. I could hear him yelp in pain as I grabbed him and began punching the leather mask he was wearing. I heard his animalistic growls again as he lunged forward and bit my forearm. A bolt of pain ran up my right arm as I tried to pry his mouth open from the mask. "Mikey, what are you doing?" was all I could hear from behind me. This guy was strong. I felt him trying to pull me closer with one arm, but I fought back with everything until I heard the police sirens. The most human look of fear washed over his eyes as he opened his mouth and ran on all fours out the open back door and over the neighbor's fence. I was bleeding everywhere, and my mom wore a confused look on her face the entire time. When the police cleared the house and the neighborhood with no reports of a 7-foot-tall man, I wasn't particularly surprised. I deliberately left out the details of the dog suit. I didn't need the police looking at me side-eyed. We made a report as usual, and investigators chalked it up to a homeless derelict who thought he could fit himself into mom's home. It still doesn't answer a lot of questions. For now, mom is staying with me in my apartment. I have an appointment lined up with a psychiatrist for her the next morning. I love her so much, and I just want to do what's best for her. What I should have done all along. I hope this whole episode is over. Reading it about a year from now, it might seem a little less terrifying and a little more funny. But the growling I hear ever so often outside my door as I write this doesn't help me ease my mind.
New on CuriosityStream, grab your lab goggles. We're out to find the world's coolest, loudest, and most in-your-face experiments.
Wow! That's impressive.
See how hands-on science can change our everyday lives on Oddly Satisfying Science. Plus, from goats to guard dogs, hear surprising stories about the creatures that brought humanity to the next level. It's animals that changed history. Watch now on CuriosityStream. Annual plans are $20, just $1.67 a month. Visit CuriosityStream.com.